Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. A lot of visitors here today. That's a joy. For those who are visiting and don't know this, we as a local congregation have been going through the book of Proverbs and verse by verse, expounding on verses as the Spirit leads. And I've been assigned chapter 25, verse 13 through 18. So I will go ahead and read those. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Verse 14. Whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Let's have a word of prayer. Yes, Almighty Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. We sense our deep need of you, and as has already been prayed, we desire to be humble and to be a servant fit for the Master's use. So I pray that you would lead this service, that you'd be here with your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint your word. Help me, help my bumbling, stumbling lips to bring forth the words you would have to speak to the congregation. We trust you. We love you. We need you, Lord, in every sense of every way. We commit this short time into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. As I researched that a little bit, back in Judea, I found a few different things there. But some of the people would take snow in the mountains. They would take snow and take it back into these caves and pack it away back in there. It got really warm in the summertime, like it does around here, maybe a little warm, I'm not sure. But they didn't have any air conditioning or refrigerators, of course. And they didn't even have, I don't know if they had any way to keep ice down in the lowlands and the flatlands, but so they would, it was custom to bring down, at the harvest time, I'm thinking it might have been like the wheat harvest, where it was still warm, hot, muggy, dry, and they would pack the snow down from the mountains and put it in their water, cool the water off, and use it for cooling, etc. And so as the cold of that snow was in the time of harvest, he's saying, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. A messenger could be likened to an employee. We can look at it in two different senses, and I think both of them will fit and do fit. They could be likened as an employee. You know, when most of us are employed by someone, or then we are an employer, and so we know the other side of how it works. If we're an employee, to be honest, punctual, responsible, hardworking, that is a refreshing asset to any employer. And there's several people in here that would be very qualified to answer that. Not all employees are that, or punctual, honest, hardworking, and that is refreshing in that sense. And I think different times at different places in the gospel, it calls us to be, faithful, and it says in all manner of conversation, and it's worded several times like that, in all manner of conversation, and that is To me, that is in every walk, in every way of our life, whether we're sitting down visiting with someone, the things coming out of our mouth, whether we're at work, working, it doesn't matter. In all manner of conversation. And so, Jesus calls us to be faithful and wise servants. And so if we're going to be a faithful and wise servant of Jesus, we cannot be a faithful wise servant of His if we're not a faithful and wise servant of the people we work for. Whether it's our dad, whether it's our boss, whoever it is. And so how we are in our walking out daily life is how we are with God. You can't separate those. People can put on a good pretense, but they're not separated. And then the other thing, I'm going to read a few verses in Matthew 28, very familiar verses for you all. But this is really what I think it ties into. Matthew 28, this is the very last, from verses 18 to 20. It's the last words that Jesus spoke to His disciples there. That's recorded in Matthew. Go ye, says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we heard about that power just a few minutes ago. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't stop there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so I like the way Dean Taylor put this several years ago. He said, no go, no lo. And so if we want Him to be with us to the end of the world, we need to go, whether it's to our neighbor, wherever it is. And so thinking of that, thinking of the great commission that Jesus gave us, when it calls us to be faithful and wise servants, I also thought of the... Well, it says, as the cold of snow is in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. And I know we all have a desire to be faithful messengers. And so it talks about that in Isaiah 52, verse 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, peace that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, and that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. What beautiful words. And then I was amazed at how in Romans chapter 10, how Paul again spoke these same words. I'm going to read that to Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 15. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? All legitimate questions. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Brothers and sisters, I think this morning that we can no longer, and I'm speaking to myself most, we can no longer sit idly by while our neighbors, our families are being apostatized and heading for hell. Jesus has called us to work. Verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. These verses seem just like one after another. They don't follow a train. They just kind of, he's just saying a lot of different things here. It was hard for me to study this, I guess. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Clouds and wind without rain. Picture July. And this July, it wasn't that way. The corn was overwatered. But we've had, all of us can remember, most of us can remember summers where July and August came around. It was hot. It was dry. The ground was parched. And it needed rain. And some clouds came up, driven by the wind. No rain in them. Just empty clouds. Clouds without rain. And the ground is thirsty. And that's just the way it is. If someone pledges to do something or to give something, whoso boasts himself of a false gift. You know, like us brothers here, we've pledged to do so much at different times to pay off the buildings and things like that. And we don't, I mean, without a doubt, we when we pledge that, it is dependent that is, we will do that or more. It's not, well, we'll do what we can, you know. When we pledge something or pledging it is the same as promising it. And, we have a lot of boasting going on in this world, and that's just like clouds and wind, and it shouldn't be that way, for someone that is a follower of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 37, he said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for what is more than these cometh of evil." So for number one, boasting should not be coming from our lips. In Colossians 4, verse 6, it said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Everything coming out of our mouth should be. And Peter and Jude both talk about, Peter talks about, they kind of say the same thing, about wells without water that are carried with a tempest, like with a whirlwind, they're just carried around. And it's a well, picture a well without water, it's fruitless. And then Jude calls it clouds without water, carried about of wind. And it's something, it's just an empty thing. So we need to be careful. Verse 15, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." Long forbearing, that gives the picture in the Greek as in forever. It's not a time when we stop. It's as long as we are here is long forbearing. It's not we should have patience for a year or two, or for the next 5 years. It's as long as is needed. It's in the Greek, it actually gives it as forever, as being long forbearing. And so, and it says is a prince, and prince can mean captain, leader, judge, ruler, anybody that's in authority. Okay, and so. What it's saying here is, and it says, "A soft tongue breaketh the bone," and breaking there is as in crushing and destroying it and quenching it. It's totally, and so by the meekness of our spirit, by the gentleness coming out of our mouth, by the way that we quietly, carefully walk out our lives, we can persuade kings, princes, rulers just by our life. We don't. It doesn't need any force, anything, and that's why he's saying here. And it gives the same picture as several different things, plays in the Bible. When Jacob was going back to his fatherland with his two wives, and it says he was very scared of his brother Esau. So he sent men ahead to see how it goes with him. And they came back telling him he's coming with a whole army. He's got a hatred for you. And so what did Jacob do? I mean, there would have been lots of different things he could have done. He had a big herd, lots of servants, and just a lot of things. And he could have made war or run the other way. But he didn't. He divided it. And then he sent gifts ahead, and I'm not sure that I can I read it, but I'm not sure if I can tell the story right. But the end of it is that when he did he wrestled with an angel, and he said that I have seen God in his face. And so I think he was wrestling there really with Jesus, is who he was wrestling with. But he crosses the river and comes face to face with Esau way up ahead. And as he laid down his life and he bowed down, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, continued on, 7 times, and it broke his heart. And then the conversation they had afterwards, you know, Esau wanted in every sense of every way to bless Jacob. It just broke his, and just, he was just minutes before we're going to kill him. And so, you know, we have the power, the same power Brother Allen was talking about, we have the power to crush and break big things. Not by joining them. Not by becoming a part of them. That's not at all how we do it. We separate ourselves and we become a child of God. Another one would have been David and that account about Nabal and Abigail, and how Abigail, with all those gifts, won David's heart so he didn't go and kill. And God honored that. And David was ready to go kill Nabal and all his men because of the way they treated him. They wouldn't give food to him after they'd washed his flocks. And but when Abigail broke David's heart and gave him some wise counsel, then David didn't do it. And then God dealt with Nabal. And his heart turned to stone, you know, and then he like went in a coma and died 10 days later. And David was blessed by that instead of using force. Verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Well, this was a hard verse. I like party mix. I like chocolate. I like different things. When you find something that we like, honey, in this case, is something that would be desirable. If you find something that is desirable, stuff yourself. Or buy all of you can. What does it say? No, not at all. It says, eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Now, it can be dangerous to us. If we're eating, it can be detrimental to our health. And it's like, you know, in this day and age, when something is wrong with us, when we're sick or something's wrong with our back or whatever, the world's remedy is you take this, you take that, you do this, you do that. But according to God and His Word, is stop doing what you're doing or stop eating what you're eating. It's not do more. It's stop. Do less. Eat as much as is sufficient. If you're overdoing something, quit overdoing it. And I'm talking to myself. You know, the world's saying is, if a little is good, more is better. And that's not what God says. Obesity in America is astoundingly high. And I haven't recently, in the last 4 years, I haven't heard how it is. But I used to get the Reader's Digest, and I used to get the guidepost. And I used to see some articles in there, but I haven't seen any of those in years, but I know obesity was just going upward at an astounding rate in America. And all around the world, there are people starving. So let it not be said of us. And I know how our heart is, but I think we can continue to hear these things. Let it not be said of us to be overindulging while the world is starving. And I think this is also pertaining to greed. It's not just pertaining to what we take in our mouth. It's pertaining to greed. I'd like to read a little account in Luke 12. A parable that Jesus gave us. Starting in verse 15, you're welcome to turn there or just listen, whatever. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Do you hear that? A man's life, that's not what a man's life consisteth of the things he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth treasure up for himself and is not rich towards God. God very plainly said, lay not up treasure for yourself. He said, lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. And so that can be a warning for us. Go on to verse 17. I keep forgetting to mark my place here. Verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. And I just don't have any, hardly anything to add to that. As near as I can search that out is just don't wear out your welcome. You shouldn't be sitting at your neighbor's house. And neighbor in this case means, doesn't mean the one that lives beside you on the one side or the other. It means just the same neighbor as what Jesus gave that parable in the Good Samaritan, of who the neighbor was to that Samaritan. It can be both, from what I could find out of neighbor here in the Greek. It's the one living beside you, or it can be the one 10 miles away that you're buddies with, you might say. Don't wear out your welcome. Don't be sitting at his house all the time. You've got better things to do than be sitting at his house. You've got a family to raise up or be out witnessing the name of Christ. There's lots of things to do besides just be sitting at your neighbor's house. So don't wear out your welcome. And besides, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So that's about all I have on that. Verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Let's take a look at these weapons. A maul is like a heavy sledgehammer. That's what a maul is in that case, is a heavy sledgehammer. And we know what a sword and a sharp arrow are. These are all weapons of destruction. Okay? And that's what a man is that beareth false witness. He's got weapons of destruction, bearing a false witness. Bearing a false witness was one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Jesus said, that was commandment number 9. Jesus said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Period. Okay? Jesus, when that young ruler came to Jesus, running up to him and said, good master, or how do you call him? Good master, something like that. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And 3 of the Gospels record that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all 3 record that incident. And all of them have the same incident exactly, but they don't all have the same words. But Jesus names some of the commandments, and Matthew names 5, Mark names 6, and Luke names 7 of the commandments that Jesus named. So Jesus must have named most of the commandments there. Okay? And all of them record that thou shalt not bear false witness. That's an important command. Bearing false witness is lying, okay? It's not saying that truth, you might even have truth in it, but it's not saying that truth about someone. The effects that this has on someone when we bear a false witness, you know, someone asks us, or we just go up to someone and start talking. Call it talking, or you can call it gossiping. But we start talking to someone, and this person comes into our conversation, and we say something that is a little off color. That is a weapon of destruction. It is bearing false witness. That is a no-no. Period. God does not. That is breaking one of his commandments. And we're never under from that. I mean, I'm going to read a little account in Matthew 5. 16 to 20. When we bear false witness, I'll just read this. Matthew 15. And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in it, the mouth goes into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And that's what I wanted to bring that out. I'll finish reading this. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." As we hear something coming out of our mouth, that is, when we look into a mirror, we can see our flesh and blood, but we can't see our soul. But when we listen to the things that are coming out of our mouth, that gives us a mirror view of our soul, of our heart. And I think that's important that we do that. Continue to know what's coming out of our mouth, because that is a mirror. That is what's coming out of our, that is what's inside. That's what our heart consists of. That's what Jesus is saying here. That is what's important. Out of the heart is where these things are coming from. Bearing false witness is something that comes out of the heart. It's not something that we just do offhandedly without thinking. It's something that's in here. And that's all I have. God bless you, and thank you for listening.